Hey there, my name is Chris Wallace, and I am the lead pastor at Hope City Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. We exist to lead people to enjoy Jesus and multiply disciples in real life. We are so glad you're checking out our podcast today. We hope this message inspires you, challenges you, and most importantly, draws you closer to Jesus in a real way. For more information about Hope City, you can check out our website at hopecitybismarck.com. Everyone lives their lives based on the narrative they believe. Every person has a dominant story they live in. It's your worldview. It's the loudest voice in your head. It's the truest story to your heart. It informs how you think about God, about yourself, how you think about others, and even the world around you. It's the way you interpret all your circumstances. It's what determines how you live your real life in the day-to-day moments. The question isn't if we have a dominant story. The question is, what is it? What do you really believe about God, about yourself, about the world? What's really shaping your thoughts, feelings, attitudes, interpretations, and your actions today? This is such an important question because the story you believe determines the way you live. This is why God has given us this incredible gift of the Bible. See, God gave us his word, not just so that we'd have a book to read, but so that we might know the true story of the world. The Bible isn't just a bunch of unrelated stories and doctrinal facts. The Bible is actually one big story that God has graciously given to us. It's the true story of who God really is, who we really are, and why we exist. It's the true story of what's wrong with the world and what God has done, is doing, and will do to make it right again. The story of God in the Bible has a beginning and it has an end, but get this, this is so important. The end hasn't happened yet. So not only is the Bible one big story, but we actually are living our lives right now inside of that story. Today is part of the story of God. Your life, my life, all of our lives are part of this story. And that's what we've been looking at this past week in the Gospel Primer, is that God's story redefines our stories and it tells us the truth about everything. Learning to see your life in light of God's story gives you a brand new framework for literally everything. Connecting your story to God's story will change how you think, redefine who you really are, and unleash God's true purpose for your life. So here's what I want to do this morning, a little different than normal. Typically, we work through specific passages and books of the Bible, but for this morning, I want to tell you the entire story of God in a very brief format. And then I want to focus on a couple specific and very significant things that this story shows us. So let's dive in together. We're going to follow this framework of creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And looking at Genesis to Revelation, here is the story of God following that framework. In the beginning, there was one God. He is perfect and good and beautiful. The Bible calls him holy. God created all things to enjoy his glory and to live under his perfect rule. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the sky and the ground. He created plants and trees. He created fish and animals. And his greatest creation was man. Man was made in God's own image, and he was made to fill the earth with his glory. But man turned away from God and rejected him and his rule and his truth. The Bible calls this sin. Because of that rebellion, we were separated from God. And since God is holy, he can't allow sin to remain in his presence. So man was separated from God, and all creation was corrupted by sin. From generation to generation, humanity spread this problem of sin. And since that day, humanity has tried to fix this brokenness We've tried to fill our lives with anything and everything to repair this breach, but we cannot do it. We've tried filling our lives with religion, relationships, money, work, sex, materialism, on and on, but nothing can fix the brokenness inside of us, and nothing can fix the brokenness outside of us. Ultimately, the wages of sin is death and permanent separation from God. But God didn't give up on humanity. Even though we turned our backs on God, He made a promise that He would send a Savior to right the wrongs we've done and to make a way to bring us back into right relationship with Him. And God kept that promise, and He sent His one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus was a man born of a virgin who lived a perfect life, always following God's ways, but He was so much more than just a man. He was the very Son of God. He was crucified on a cross as a sacrifice for the sins of rebellious humanity. He lived that perfect life that we failed to live, and He lived that in our place. And He died the death that we deserve to die, and He died in our place so that we could ultimately have life in Him. Jesus didn't stay in the grave, though. You see, He was raised to new life. And when He rose again, He proved that He defeated death, that He actually paid the full penalty for sin, and He actually satisfied the wrath of God. He promised that all who trust in Him by faith would receive the free gift of eternal life in Him and get to live forever with Him in His kingdom starting right now. Not only that, but Jesus ascended to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is restoring all creation back to God through His finished work. And one day, very soon, He is coming back to bring the fullness of that kingdom, His kingdom, and to make all things new in heaven and on earth. And man will live with God face to face in His perfect kingdom forever. For those who follow Jesus and trust in Him, we get to live in His kingdom, and we get to join Him in filling the world with His glory. This is the story of God. So what I want to do is an incredible story. I love it. Everything in the Bible fits into this story. That's where all these pieces find their place. So what I want to do is just take a few moments. I want to just pull out four takeaways from the story of God. These are four really important things. And honestly, we could do hundreds of takeaways. I mean, there's so many things you can pull out. And so I'd love to even know, what are your takeaways? What are the things that stand out to you? But here's four incredible takeaways from the story of God. Number one, we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" I want you to notice the order of what God does at the beginning of the story. He created humans in His own image. And then what does He do? He blessed them. Then He commanded them to live out of their identity as image bearers by being fruitful, multiplying, filling the earth, and ruling over it as His representatives. All of this was to happen as they lived with God under His authority and rule in a worshipful relationship. That was God's original design for life. That's what it means to truly be human. We were created to receive our identity in God and then to live in His gracious blessing. Out of that glorious identity, we were to live with the authority that God gave us in this world. And we were created to pursue this mission of bearing fruit and filling the whole world with the glory of God. This was the privilege of being His image bearers in the world. Now that is still what it means to be human, even though the image of God in us is so broken by sin. God's desire for us from the beginning has been intimacy with him and blessing and fruitfulness in real life. Jesus said, eternal life is this, to know you and to know Jesus Christ and the one true God. Like, that is eternal life, to live in relationship with God, to know him intimately and deeply. Does that describe you today? Does that describe your experience with God, this intimacy and blessing and fruitfulness? And I was thinking about my wife, and I love to go on dates with Christy. And it's not just because of the good food that we'll eat. I mean, we love to eat good food. It's not just because of the fun experiences that we share. We love to have fun together. But ultimately, I love dates with my wife because I get to enjoy her and to be with her. You see, that's what describes life in the beginning of creation. That describes God's purpose for us in creation. Adam and Eve got to live with God and enjoy him, and enjoy living with him and for him in real life. That was the purpose. And the story of God shows us that glorious design, that original design for humanity. So with this first implication, I'm going to do this with all four points, by the way, but I want to just read you a few false narratives that are very familiar to us. These are the things that we think and we feel and we hear from the culture around us. These are narratives that feel very natural. And then I want us to contrast those with what the story of God says is true about those. And so I could list about 100 of these as well, but I'm just going to do 3 for each point, and hopefully you'll kind of pick up what I'm doing here. So the false narrative that we've all lived under, it says, make a name for yourself. Like, we've all felt that, right? Make a name for yourself. But God's story says your greatest good isn't making a name for yourself, but it's living for the glory of God's name. The false narrative says that you don't even need God. You can do it all on your own. But God's story says everything you are and everything you have is from God. You can't not need God. Right now, the very breath that you breathe is a gift from God. Every beat of your heart is a beat of his glorious grace. Your life is from him. Your life is in him. And whether you believe it or not, you are completely dependent on God. The false narrative says, treat people however you want, as long as you're happy. But God's story tells us the truth that we're all made in the image of God, and that I should treat others with love and respect, and I should see them as precious and valuable no matter who they are, period. So the next truth I want to draw your attention to that we see in the story of God is that God is gracious. God is gracious. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, right after Adam and Eve have eaten the fruit, they've disobeyed God for the very first time. This is what it says beginning in verse 7. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. What did they do immediately? As soon as they've sinned, what begins to settle in? Their awareness of themselves. For the first time, they become selfish and they become afraid and ashamed. And that's what sin does. When we're separated from God, we begin to be consumed with ourselves. And that's what we see with Adam and Eve. And so what do? They hide and they go get the worst material on earth to make clothes for themselves. And so they're camouflaged in the bushes. And it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so what does God do? It says, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Now, why is God doing that? Why would he ask? Is God really like, I only made 2 of them. Like, where'd they go? Oh man, I should have made more, right? No, of course not, right? God knows exactly what's going on here. We do this with our kids all the time. We ask them questions, not because we don't know. I mean, there's marker all over the wall. And I ask my 3-year-old, hey, what happened? I'm not curious about what happened. I know exactly what happened, but I want to invite her back into relationship, even though she's done something she shouldn't have. That's an invitation. That's grace being displayed. So God asks him, where are you? And then Adam answers, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And so this is the first story where we really see God's grace play out, and it becomes a major theme through the story of God. God graciously loves and pursues sinners, not because he has to, but because he wants to. In Genesis 3, and in that moment we just read, and all the way to present day, this is who God is. And he displays this again and again. There's a pattern that replays over and over throughout the story of God in the Bible. It looks something like this. God creates and blesses. Man rejects God and his truth and disobeys. But God graciously pursues his people and does for them what they can't do for themselves. And then his people are invited to repent and find a renewed and forgiven relationship and to be brought back into relationship with God. So again and again, we see God doesn't give up on his people as we expect him to and as he should, but he shows grace. Friends, our story is a story of grace. When God should have destroyed, he delivered. When God should have rained down fire, he rained down mercy. When God should have judged, he justified. When God should have poured out his wrath on us, he poured it out on his own son. The story of God shows us this again and again, that sin is always a liar. It lies to us, it steals, it destroys, and it takes us away from the very life we were created for. But God is always perfect, always true, and always good. And believing him and trusting him and obeying him always leads to life and joy and freedom. It shows us that we can't be right with God because of our own merit or hard work, but it's only through the gracious pursuing and powerful work of God on our behalf in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. In other words, salvation is being recreated in Jesus and blessed because of his work, and then empowered to live under the perfect rule of God and his ways. This is recreation. This is Genesis 1 played out in a very different context after the fall in Jesus Christ because of what he has done. God is gracious. So the false narrative says you have to work hard to justify yourself, to prove your worth and your goodness. But God's story says because God is gracious, we don't have to prove ourselves. In Christ alone can we be justified. And when we're justified in Christ, we get to live in freedom and confidence before God and even in this life now. The false narrative says that we have to obey in order to earn God's love. But God's story says we are loved because of who God is, not what we do. And so we can live freely to obey him in worship and love rather than obligation and manipulation. The false narrative says only what you do will make your life matter. It says make more money, buy more stuff, have the right family, have the right life. But God's story says you don't have to look to anything else besides Christ for validation or acceptance or justification. That is a gift of his grace. Number three, our purpose is fruitfulness. Our purpose is fruitfulness. So that was the original purpose in the beginning for humanity, though the emphasis was especially on physical fruitfulness. But let's fast forward to what Jesus said after he rose from the grave. So here he is on this mountain with 11 of his disciples. He's defeated death. He's risen from the grave. He's conquered sin. And now he commissions his disciples with these final words. I want you to listen to this. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died in the place of sinners, defeated death, rose again, and ushered in the eternal kingdom of God. This is the new creation in Christ. Just like in Genesis, Jesus saved these 11 men. He created them when they were born again, and then he graciously blessed them with this new identity in him. And then what did he do? He sent them out to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the whole earth with his glory. That's who we are now. Now we live every day as the light of the world, reflecting Christ and who he is to one another and in the world around us. Our passion and our mission is to see the glory of Jesus saturate the world as the waters cover the sea, like Habakkuk 2:14 says. That's what making disciples is. It's leading everyday people to increasingly submit all of life to King Jesus. We get to show people right now what the kingdom of God is like until Christ returns and brings the fullness of that kingdom with him. What a privilege! The church is the foretaste of that kingdom that's coming. Think about a movie trailer for a moment. Have you ever been to the movies and just been on the edge of your seat watching the trailer of a new movie? Like after it's done, you look to your friend or your spouse or whoever you're with and you say, I have got to go see that. Like it is so enticing. Man, I saw 2 minutes of it and I can't wait to see the rest. See, that's what we get to do every single day with our lives. We get to show people what Jesus is like, how good his love is, how amazing his family is. We get to invite them to experience his kingdom here and now. The false narrative says your life is about you. God's story says your story is about his glory, and you get to make a difference in others for eternity. The false narrative says you're not special, you don't really matter. But God's story says you play a role that God designed just for you. The false narrative says you have to do everything on your own. But God's story says you get to live with Jesus on mission. Man, it's incredible. One last thing, I really do, I wish I had all day. I'm not sure if you wish that, but I love this so much. There's so much truth here. There are so many amazing things we could go into, but one last one that I want to leave us with today is that Jesus is making all things new. Listen to this from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I love that. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is going to finish what he started. He won't fail. He won't delay. He won't mess up. He won't forget. He is faithful. Jesus is working right now to renew all of creation through the gospel and through his church. And we get to join him in that today. He is coming back soon to usher in the eternal age. And we have unshakable hope in Jesus that tells us to keep going until he returns. So hold on to that and live in light of that. The false narrative says YOLO. You only live once, so get everything in while you can. But God's story says you live forever with Jesus, so invest your life for eternity. The false narrative says God has forgotten me and he doesn't see me. But God's story says that you are never alone or forgotten. The false narrative says, I can't be who God wants me to be. God's story says you have everything you need in Christ Jesus. My God will richly supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. This is a lot to take in, and we're just scratching the surface. And so we're gonna stop there for today. And I just want to close with a question and a challenge. The question, what is your dominant story going to be this week? Remember, it's not if you have one, it's what is it? So who or what is going to define you and what's true for your life this week? Is it the story of God, what he says is true, or is it something else? That's the question you need to wrestle with. The challenge. Share the truth of God's story with someone who needs it this week. You're going to rub shoulders with coworkers, family, friends, neighbors. Don't let people keep living in a lie when you know the truth. You have the greatest news in the universe. You have good news for every situation and every person. So pray for opportunities. Pray for boldness to share the truth about who God really is and what he has done, the good news of what he has done in Christ. You have unshakable hope, but there are so many in our city who don't. So this week, reflect Christ. This week, shine as a light. And this week, bear fruit for God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we wouldn't just be people who talk about your story when we're together, but we'd be people who believe it and are so gripped by it that we share it with the world around us. God, I pray for each one of us that we would be, God, just all in for what you say about life, for what you've called us to, God. We don't want to play it safe. We don't want to ride the fence, God. We want to be all in to live in light of what you say is truth and to be the glorious church that Christ gave his life to make us. And so, God, we surrender to you today, and we ask that you would have your way with us, transform our lives in light of your story, that you would get all the glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.